Amen. So if you won't praise him, the baby will. If y'all won't clap and dance and shout, the baby will. That's pure, isn't it? I know we are lengthy today, and apologize for that, but you know, we might not be here tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. So we got to do what we got to do right now. Amen. Coming and speaking on the topic of who's in charge. Book of Galatians was read to you in your hearing. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, if that's all right. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and redeemer. Galatians says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of a sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit. Yes. And the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature.
Yes, right.
For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Amen.
Yes.
Traditionally, we've left the teaching of the Spirit and of a Spirit-controlled life to the Pentecostal church, haven't we?
Come on, come on, come on.
We've given them a lot of stuff and we just left it by the wayside.
That's right.
If you've ever been to a Pentecostal church or Church of God in Christ, they preach holiness.
Yes, they do.
They preach reverence in the sanctuary.
Yes, they do.
They preach about a Spirit-controlled life.
That's right.
But over here on this side, we kind of don't do that because we don't want to offend folks. Now you came to the wrong place today. There is a lot of misinformation about the Holy Spirit. I found that some people are actually afraid of it. If some people speak in tongues, do you know people get afraid? The Bible teaches us who the Holy Spirit is and what he does for us as believers. There ain't nothing to be afraid of. Amen. Our source of understanding the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. It's not in someone else's experience. And I'm wondering why the church sometimes seems to lack spiritual power.
Come on now.
All right.
Is it because we're not teaching it?
That's right.
If you don't teach power, folks won't be empowered.
That's right.
In this section of Galatians, Paul is talking about the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, the Galatians at this time had already abandoned his ministry. Mm-hmm. And when they did that, yeah, their lives started to show out, and it started to show up in the way they treated each other.
Exactly.
It showed up in the way they talked to each other.
Yeah.
They had abandoned the ministry, and so it started to show in the way they dealt with one another. If you go backwards in that scripture, you'll find that they had been backbiting.
Yeah.
Would sound familiar?
Come on now.
They'd been backbiting. They'd been provoking. Provoking is when you do something to someone on purpose to get a reaction.
Yeah,
then we get mad when we get it.
Right.
That don't make no sense. Follow along with me, and we're going to talk about what Paul says about living a Spirit-controlled life. My first point is verse 16 is a command with a promise. Walking in the Spirit, we need to understand, is not an automatic thing. It's not a machine that we turn on and then we just leave it on. Neither is the Holy Spirit a force in our lives that automatically makes us do right. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is a person that is waiting to be depended on.
Yeah.
See, the verb here, so you got to know some English. The verb here, it is a present imperative, and it's translated keep on walking.
Keep on walking.
The Spirit-filled life isn't something that happens to you and then it just stays that way.
That's right.
We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. It's a process. The words keep on walking imply that it's impossible at some point to stop walking.
Yes.
It's possible that we can discontinue our walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
That's not God's desire, but it's a distinct possibility. Walking in the Spirit is not something that passively occurs in our lives. We have to take action on it.
Amen.
You have to discipline yourself to do it.
Yeah.
You have to yield yourselves to God and trust Him to empower you. See, Paul is talking about the believer and the responsibility that we need to choose this path that we're going to walk on. We need to remember that walking by the Spirit is not trusting. Right? That's what they say. No, see, I'm talking because I'm going to see if y'all are just going to talk to me or if you're going
to
listen. That's not what it says. It's not about trying. It's about trusting. The harder you try, then the more you'll trust. The power, it is power working in and through us, is not a self-effort. Paul tells us it's God's desire that we walk and live in the Spirit, but we seek to be continually controlled by God's Spirit. Walking in the Spirit empowers us. In the B part of verse 16, it says, ye shall not. That is, in English, a double negative, strengthening the denial. Not at all, meaning any more at all, or by no means. So it's impossible to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh at the same time. So I ask you, who is in charge of your life? That was quiet. Nobody said anything. I'm going to repeat it again. It is impossible. It means you cannot do it. It is not even on the table. It is impossible to walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh at the same time. You cannot do it. So who is in charge of your life? It's either the Spirit or it's the flesh. It is no in between. It's one or the other. Lust of the flesh, what does that mean? It means it refers to evil desires. It refers to impulses. It refers to passions that arise out of an evil nature. See, we don't want to talk about that stuff. Lust of the flesh. Evil desires, impulses.
Yeah.
We say stupid things like, the devil made me do it. No, you did it on your own because you know it was going to feel good.
Come on, talk to us.
Paul told us of the inability of the law to save us. And now he explains that the law cannot change or control an old nature. See, the Holy Spirit gives us power to say no. We say, the devil made me do it. You're not walking in the Spirit.
No.
If you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, you know better than that.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we don't say everything that we want to say. That's not your common sense. That's the Holy Spirit saying, shut up. You know you ain't got no business opening that door. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If you're walking in the Spirit, Holy Spirit gives you power to say no, period.
No.
The conflict within us is listed in verses 17 and 8. And I believe there's really only two contenders, the Holy Spirit and the flesh, right?
Yeah.
Every Christian has two natures, a sinful nature and a new divine nature. See, we're under, when Adam fell, it puts us under what we call Adamic law. And that means that when Adam fell, it fell on all of us. And see, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and he comes into your heart, you are born again. You are regenerated and you are renewed in Christ. But you still have that old nature. See, the world wants us to believe, and sometimes we get caught up in it, that when you come and you say, okay, I'm a Christian, you're not supposed to mess up anymore. But the truth of the matter is, daily we sin, and we all sin, and we fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. Inside every believer, there is a battle that is raging, and if you don't acknowledge that, you're lying to yourself. Because, see, we know what we deal with when we're alone in the recesses of our own mind. Amen? And isn't it a battle? Isn't it a battle and a struggle not to go everywhere you want to go and say everything you want to say and do everything that your flesh wants you to do? That's a constant battle. It's like a boxing match. In one corner, you've got the Holy Spirit saying, walk in holiness. And over here, you've got the flesh saying, cuss him out.
Come on now,
that's the truth. When people cut you off on the highway, you don't roll down the window and say, God bless you. I don't. The Holy Spirit and the flesh, they're not friends.
No.
See, we get comfortable. And we get cute on Sunday. But what did you do Saturday night?
Come on now.
Well,
amen.
Where were you Saturday night?
Amen.
Well, let's back up one. Where were you on Friday? Because some of us have I don't do nothing on Saturday because I'm going to get right for Sunday. You may as well do it on Saturday too. Don't come in and fake it on Sunday morning. Amen. What did your Friday night look like? Evil nature. Every believer has a sinful nature. No exceptions.
Yes.
No matter how spiritual we think we may be. My grandmother, I always said it, my grandma was the closest walking thing to Jesus that I have, and she was sinful too.
Yes.
Your mama, your daddy, your preacher, Bishop T.D. Jakes, all them people that go on TV, yes, this is my Bible, I can do what they're sinful too.
Amen.
No exceptions at all. Stay with me. So when someone calls you and they call you pastor,
Come on.
They're trying to say you're not supposed to do that. But what they don't realize is being a pastor, I'm still a man.
Yeah.
And I've got a struggle going in and on inside of me between the flesh and the spirit. And the spirit wants me to say I love you. And the flesh wants me to knock your teeth out.
Come on.
They're trying to hold you hostage with a title.
Yes, come on.
Because they have no understanding of what being a true Christian really means. Can I get a witness? Do you know? Our sinful nature wasn't eradicated at salvation. Both the Bible and our experience are proof that this is true. We have a sinful nature that we received at birth. Everyone has one. It's Adam's fault. Nothing happened when Eve ate because the command was given to Adam. He told Adam, you can have everything in the garden, but don't touch that. And as soon as he said, I want that, all hell broke loose. Nowhere in the scriptures are we taught that our old nature has been rendered inactive when we become Christians. There isn't anywhere in the Bible, you can search it from Genesis to Revelation, you will not find it. In the other corner, we have the Holy Spirit. At salvation, God makes us partakers of a divine nature. The Bible says, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. The Holy Spirit, if you go back and read that closely, and that short passage is mentioned 7 times. The Holy Spirit is presented as a sanctifier who alone can oppose and subdue the flesh. Enable us to fulfill the law so that we're delivered from his harsh dominion and cause the fruit of righteousness to grow in our lives. So the enjoyment of Christian liberty is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Christ sets us free, yes, but without the continuing, directing, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, our liberty is bound to degenerate.
Come on, preach to us.
See, the problem is that both of these, the old nature and the Holy Spirit, both want to be in control. So who's in charge? Have you ever been around where it's a constant struggle in communication? There is a gentleman that works for me. He is my friend. Some days I think we don't like each other, but we are like-minded in certain things. And when we go to talk, we're always trying to out-talk one another. It's a struggle. It ain't a bad thing, but it just is what it is. But inside of us, we've got a struggle going on. Both reside inside of us. Both natures have desires. One for evil and the other for holiness. Who's in charge? Both desire to control us. Who's in charge? They're not content to live at peace with one another, are they? One over here in this corner and one over there in that corner. But the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. So who's it going to be? See, we need to realize we have a choice here. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to accept Christ. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to work. You can be content to drink, smoke, cuss, sit up in somebody's house, have sex outside of wedlock, make babies and abort them, and do it all over again. That's up to you. That's a choice. Who's in charge today? Lukewarm, fence straddlers, bench warmers. Am I talking to anybody? You can't be all that. Don't come into church and warm a pew. Come in and do something. Both are ambitious and both want to rule the man. It's a continual struggle.
Yeah.
I've had folks say to me, and I've said it. I said it to my pastor.
Come on now.
I'm lucky he was saved.
Come on.
I said, when are you gonna get this right?
Come on now.
And I said, well, I'm just trying to work a few things out. He said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, there's some things I'm going through. I'm trying to work some stuff out. Let me tell you something. You ain't never going to get it worked out. That is a trick of the enemy. That is the flesh speaking to you against the spirit. The spirit is telling you to come, and your flesh is saying, but you've got to get that worked out. But the Bible says, come as you are.
Yes,
come
on.
Yes, all right now.
We won't let you stay that way.
Thank you.
Non-believers hold believers to unrealistic expectations. It's a process. This is a process we're going through.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not always going to be holy. I'd like to be, but the reality of it, sometimes you're going to meet my flesh.
Come on, preach.
It's a continual struggle. Everything is a process. Look, I didn't get to be 198 pounds. I didn't go from 150 to 198 overnight. It was a process of macaroni and cheese and fried chicken and canned yams and collard greens at 10, 11, and 12 o'clock at night. It was a process. Soda chips, fried chicken, Dr. Pepper. It was a good thing, but it was a process. The flesh continuously struggles, and it has a strong desire to suppress the spirit. And the spirit has a strong desire to suppress the flesh. That's why sometimes when you look at somebody in church, they're just like this. Be quiet, because you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know which one's talking to them right then. You don't know what it takes to get what we have as individuals. You see my story, but you don't know the process and the struggle that I had to go through to get what I have and the sacrifices that I have to make to maintain it. It's a constant struggle. Process requires obedience, faith, and it requires a sacrifice.
Yes,
so who's in charge?
Who?
Things that come easy, go easy.
Come on.
Things that you have to work for will stay with you for your whole life.
Yeah.
In this section, Paul is contrasting the way the Galatians were living their lives. Some had turned back to the law. In verse 18, they have contrasting ways of living a Christian life. It's between the law and the spirit.
Yeah.
To live by the law is to live a life of self-effort, a life that is trying instead of trusting.
Yeah.
To live a life controlled by the Spirit requires faith, a life that is trusting instead of trying.
Yeah.
See, I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I will lean not unto my own understanding, and in all my ways I'll acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. But you've got to trust Him. Works of the flesh in verses 19 through 21. Paul says the work of the flesh are manifest. That means open. That means evident. That means clearly identified. Now don't get mad with me and send me hate mail, because I'm not even gonna respond to it. I didn't write this book. I didn't make it up. All I can do is tell you what's in it. If you turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians and you open it up to verse 19, it'll tell you. They're not my words. It says manifest, open, evident, and clearly defined. So what is clearly defined in your life? Is it adultery? Well, is it idolatry? Is it fornication? Is it uncleanness? It gives you a laundry list of stuff. There's no question about it.
Come on.
Who are you sleeping with? Emulations, wrath, strife, decisions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings. If you do these things, it's simple. You will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Come on.
I didn't write it. Look it up. It's that simple. Do them, because they feel good sometimes, don't they? Except when you're on the opposite end of it. Except when you're the one that's being cheated on. That don't feel good, does it? You will not, you shall not, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And remember that next time you're on your way to being plastered in a club somewhere, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember that when you go to tip into somebody's house that you ain't married to, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write it. They that do such things, the word do is a derivative in action, and it speaks to the habitual practice of something.
That's right.
Habitual means I do it over and over again because I like it. I do it over and over again because it feels good. I do it over and over again because the spirit is not in control of my life. The flesh is. A person's character is determined by your habitual actions, not the infrequent fall. Did you hear that? Your character is determined by what you do on a daily basis, not the things that make you stumble on occasion. Anyone whose life is characterized by works of the flesh is giving evidence that you don't know God. It's that simple. And the consequences that is separation forever and eternally from God. So what kind of life are you living? And who's in charge? I'm talking to me too. I got stuff. We all got stuff. The all robed up is cover up my lumps and bumps. It don't save me. It don't sanctify me. It just makes me look all right.
Come on.
I have stuff. So do you.
Amen.
Fruit of the Spirit. Listed in 22 and 23. Paul describes not the fruit of a Christian, but fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Did you hear it? It's not the fruit of a Christian.
Yeah, right.
It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Spirit. You missed it.
God,
Paul is talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Spirit.
Not the fruit of a Christian.
Come on now.
Okay.
I got it.
All right. Somebody said, I got it. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against these there is no law. And if we live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. So what's your walk look like?
That's right. Come on, then.
When we're under the Spirit's control, these qualities are also evident. Just like the other mess is evident. If you get right, the other stuff becomes evident too. When people talk about you, you can love them. When the world has hell going all around, you can still have joy. When people are hard with you, you can be gentle. When people are bad to you, you can be good. When it looks like that the world has no faith, you can have some faith. But it's not something we produce by self-effort. It's produced in us by the Holy Spirit when we're under His control. The word fruit is singular. Get this. The word fruit is singular. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. The word fruit is singular, indicating that when we're filled with God's Spirit, all of the virtues should be and will be present in our lives. In verse 23, we're given a blessing. There's no law against love. There's no law against joy, no law against peace, long-suffering, and gentleness. These virtues are approved, and they're highly esteemed by God Himself. Paul says the law could bring no charge against these things, and our lives will be blessed and enhanced by these virtues, but they'll be diminished by the works of the flesh.
Right.
You can get up and you can preach your heart out on Sunday, but if all they say about you around town is they know you're sleeping with somebody's wife, it don't make no difference how many folks fall out when you preach on Sunday.
Right.
You can play a keyboard and beat the drums all you want until the windows shake, but if you go out of here and you act crazy and that's all you're known for, it's in vain.
Amen.
I'm not talking about anybody that we got the best music ministry in Lehigh Valley. Y'all don't know. You ought to come out. But I'm not. I'm just saying we've got to be more than just showers.
Come on.
We got to walk in it.
Yes.
If I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to walk in it.
Yes.
If I'm going to sacrifice all this, you better believe I want some of them gifts.
Come on,
yes. Amen.
We have a concluding plea in 25 and 26. If is better translated as since, for seeing that we live in the Spirit. Verse 25 says walk. The NIV says keep in step. Since we live in the Spirit, or better yet, the Spirit lives in us, let us keep in step with it.
Yes, come on now.
You ever see a step team?
Come on now.
One who didn't rehearse messed the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And no matter how good the rest of it was, all they're going to talk about is the one who didn't show up for rehearsal.
Yeah, right.
Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Be guided by Him. Be controlled by Him.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I know y'all wanted to shout, but
come on.
This is just one of those things, we just got to talk about it. Who's in charge of our life? A constant struggle, a constant battle between flesh and spirit. You can't really shout about that. You've got to acknowledge, yeah, I got some stuff that's going on. But the thing is, when you bring it to the Lord in the spirit of holiness and in truth, He will direct your path. He will do it. And I'm just about finished. Lessons for life. The spirit-controlled life is available for all believers. See, and this is the one that I get hooked up on. Because I've been in church all my life. And I've seen some of the nastiest and hurtful things said to people in the church house. I have met saints, seasoned saints, that think that their grace is different than the grace that is available to a sinner. I have been in church where I have heard folks say, oh, look at her, and not how can I help you.
Come on.
See, the grace that is available to me is the same grace that is available to you, because the ground is level. And see, whatever you've done in this life, it isn't too dirty for God.
Come on.
Whatever it is that isn't right, whatever it is that you've done, however dirty you've been, it doesn't matter. God's grace covers it all. It's for the young people, and it's for the old people alike.
Yeah.
You can be young and still walk in holiness.
Yes,
you can be 20-something and not be drunk on the weekend.
Yes,
God will bless you if you just let go of some stuff and get within the spirit. He's going to line you up with the person that He made for you. You're going to be all right. You don't have to be drunk to have a happy life. Walk in the spirit. And not in the flesh. It's a choice in what you're going to do in this life. You have to choose to get drunk. It doesn't happen by accident. You have to choose to sleep with somebody you're not married to. It's not an accident. You have to choose to get pregnant. I don't care what they say, that's not an accident. You open the door, somebody gonna come in there. A spirit-controlled life is not reserved for the elite.
Amen.
That's right. Come on now.
Don't call me pastor.
Come on.
And hold me hostage to it.
Come on.
Because you should be walking in it like me.
Come on.
Whatever it is, whoever it is, it's available and it's required of all of us to get in it and walk. It's not just for pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers.
Yeah.
It's for people who sweep the floor and clean the toilets.
That's
it's
right.
For people who mow the grass and cut the bushes.
Right.
It's for everybody.
Yeah.
Paul is speaking to the believers in Galatia, not just a select few. A spirit-controlled life is not without struggle. It's a continuous struggle. It's a war on the inside of us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We come in and we dress good and you can't see it, but the battle is raging. And I know it because I may not see it on you, but I know it's there because I'm dealing with it too.
Amen. Yeah. Come on, preach to
it. Right?
Amen.
My flesh is saying something and my spirit is saying something else. So I know it's happening to you too.
That's right.
No believer will ever really be entirely free in life from evil desires that stem from a fallen human nature.
That's right.
So when something creeps up into your head, don't beat yourself up about it. Just pray it out, plead the blood of Jesus, and move on with your life. Amen, somebody. If there's no sinful nature within us, there'd be no struggle. If there'd be no struggle, there would be no need to have faith. If there was no faith, we wouldn't have anything that we had to latch on to.
Amen.
And when you think you've got it mastered, that's when you need to look out, because that's when you're going to fall the hardest. It's difficult for us because we're accustomed to self-effort and self-dependence.
Yeah.
The spirit-controlled life is a secret to the victory over the flesh. The law didn't save us, nor does it sanctify us. We are in need of an internal power, not an external law, to have victory over the flesh.
Yeah.
It can't be accomplished by mere resistance and repression. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to think about that anymore.
Come on.
I'm just going to give that to the Lord. That's the biggest lie that we tell in church. I'm just going to give it to the Lord. If you're not going to give it and leave it there, you've got to have a plan in place. You can't simply just repress something. You can't repress a feeling. You've got to have a plan and a trust and a walk in the spirit that will keep you from fulfilling the desires of your flesh.
Yeah.
Victory over the flesh is not obtained by self-effort, but by dependence on God's spirit.
Yeah.
God is the key. Amen.
Amen.
We used to sing a song, without God,
without God
I can do nothing.
Nothing.
Without God, I would fail.
Yeah.
You know, we sang so many songs back in the day, and now they don't really make sense.
Come on now.
You know, like a ship without a sail. Well, row the boat then. but the Bible says, but I can do all things. And so you need to change that up a little bit. I can do all things. I can walk in all things. I can pray in all things. I can succeed in all things. I can make my way through all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you gotta know Jesus. You can't walk with him if you don't know who he is. So I ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ? I'm talking about Jesus. Do you know it today? Some say he's the lily of the valley. Some say Jesus is the bright and the morning star. Some say he'll never leave me. No, I'm not telling you what you're saying. The Paul writer said he walks with me. Love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. And I love him. I love him. You ought to be able to say, I really love the Lord. You ought to stand to your feet and just say, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, I magnify you. God, you are in control of my life. I will live for you. I will die for you. I will trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I'm going to trust him until I die. Because you see, we're not made to stay here. This is just a barren land. We're traveling through it, and one day God is going to speak your name. Hell or high water, that is an appointment that you will not miss. And when you stand before him, you've got two options. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You didn't listen to me, you listened to the flesh. But if you walk in the spirit, when you leave here, you'll hear, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful over a few things. And now you will be ruler over many. And I don't know about you, but I want to rule over many. Hey! Shout Jesus! Shout Jesus! Shout Jesus! 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 Lily of the Valley! Bright and morning star! Mary, Hagen, sanctifier, redeemer, holy one, soon to come again!